So if you turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's on page 1018 in the church Bibles, and I'll ask Chris to read it. So it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, page 1018.
His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Chris. So keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be looking through this passage tonight. Now, quick refresh from last week. Zach was introducing us to 2 Peter, and he was talking about there being three big ideas in the book. The first one being the knowledge you've been taught by the apostles really matters. The second one is godliness really matters. And the third one is Jesus' return really matters. So three big ideas. And what we were talking about was how Peter's addressing second-generation believers, not the believers who'd seen Jesus for themselves, not the believers who'd been there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. No, this is second generation. We are what generation? Oh, I see where you're going. So Rob says second. I get what you mean. So we're in the same boat. Where I was going, we're about 100th generation. But you're right, we are in the same boat. Actually, we've received a letter just like Peter's first readers got. We're second generation believers. We are relying on Peter's eyewitness testimony, which he's talking about. We are reading the words of a man who spent 3 years in intimate contact with Jesus. So the big idea that we're looking at tonight is number two. Godliness really matters. That's the focus of this. And the theme that I want to pick up on is this. Make every effort to be more like Jesus, because he is in you, making you more like him. Make every effort to be more like Jesus, because he is in you, making you more like him. And we're going to follow this theme really based on verses 5 to 7. So let me read that again. So if you can turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And we're going to look at this under two headings. The first one is, what does this mean? And the second is, what does this mean to me tonight? So we'll start with this first one. What does it mean, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with, and then this list of qualities? What does it mean? Well, there are two words in the Greek which are really interesting. That make every effort is the first one, and that word supplement is the second. Make every effort. It's the same word that's actually used in verse 10, if you look down there. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. Make every effort, be all the more diligent. What Peter is really saying is, put in the effort, try, work at it. Or, as we've got this word, it comes from, basically, train hard. Now, I don't like the look of this, because she is not sweating. Why is she not sweating? Because she's well trained. She's fit. But really it is, isn't it? She's been working hard at this. She started on little weights, and then they got bigger and bigger. And now her muscles are so well trained. She's been in training. So the make every effort phrase is in this world of training, working out, getting ready for a race. It's as if Mo Farah did not turn up to the Olympics in 2012 without having done a lot of this, right? And we are training for service for God. And then the second image that this verse is focused on. So we've got make every effort. And then the second one is supplement or add. Or it's like this. Oops, I'm going backwards. And thank you to Stanley for this one. Supplement or add. Any ideas what this would be? It's the same word, apparently. It's as if you're adding ingredients. It's literally as if we are going into Bake Off and we are not going to turn up at the Bake Off final without having practiced hard, without having got all the ingredients, all the equipment, and worked at exactly the right amount of each ingredient and at the right temperature and the right amount of folding or stirring or beating or bashing or crunching or whatever it is we have to do. Adding ingredients is the way in which Peter is describing supplementing your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control. It's not like climbing a ladder. It's like baking this amazing cake with just the right ingredients. So we've got these two images. Make every effort, be disciplined, train hard, and secondly, use the right ingredients, add them, add the right amount, be prepared, be practiced for baking this amazing cake. So, with these two images in mind, let's take a look further at make every effort to supplement or add to your faith. And take a look at the passage and what is it trying to say. So first of all, this is a bit strange. Hang on a minute, Gunnersbury. Make every effort, but we're told that Jesus has done it all. You can't earn your own salvation, so how can we make every effort? And that's absolutely true, of course. Jesus has died on the cross. He's paid for our sin. I can't contribute to my own salvation. So what this is talking about is not earning my salvation. My salvation is earned. This is having repented and believed and put my faith in Jesus. Now what? And in fact, when you first became a Christian, What did you do? What was that first step that you took? If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to repent and believe the gospel, trust in Jesus, and then what? Well, Peter is saying, make every effort to add to your faith. You've got faith, now add the next ingredient, and the next ingredient, and the next ingredient. So it's a message for believers. You've come to faith, now what? And the answer is, make every effort to add to your faith. But also, it's for all ages. There's no mention here of this is for young believers, this is for old believers, this is for men, this is for women. No, this is for all of us. And if you just take a look at verse 8 with me, verse 8, where it says, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are that baker in adding, increasing ingredients. It's all about being ineffective or unfruitful. That's the last thing we want to be. As human beings, that's the last thing we want to be. And as Christians in particular, we want to be fruitful, productive, effective for our Lord. So, if you're a young Christian or an older Christian, this is all about these qualities increasing, getting the ingredients right. But also then, look in verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So this is all about ongoing. So if you've been a Christian 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, this is all about the ongoing, every day, practice these qualities. Be diligent to confirm your calling and election. And the future is certain. The wonderful verse 11, for in this way, so having made every effort, being diligent, doing, practicing these qualities, adding the ingredients, for in this way, verse 11, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our future is certain. We're assured of that great welcome, the entrance into the eternal kingdom. So, it's a message for believers for all ages, and it's all about keeping going. It's all about exercising our God muscles every day. It goes back to that verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. And then verse 10, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. It's really an antidote to being throttled by busyness. You know what I mean? You wake up tomorrow morning at 7:30 and, oh no, is that the time? And you're into the day before you've even stopped to pray and to commit it to the Lord. So what this is all about is every day, that daily practicing, that daily training. It makes me think of the parable of the sower. And, you know, when the seed is sown, and there's that one shoot that grows up, and then, but it grows up in among the weeds. Do you remember that one? What happens to it? It gets choked. And I think I really relate to that. Can you as well? You know that as you grow as a Christian, so easy for things to come in and throttle the gospel. And I'm thinking particularly of busyness, but for you maybe it's something else. So this message, make every effort to add to your faith, says keep on going. Demands conscious thought, deliberate planning, thinking through how am I increasing in my faith? Am I adding to it from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year? It's worth looking back. Where have I been over the last few months or years? Am I growing? Am I adding to my faith? There's a challenge, isn't it? Then the next one, it doesn't just happen. When we become Christians, we make the decision to take up our cross and follow Jesus every week, every month, every year. It's like the athlete who follows a strict training routine. And it's like the baker who has to practice and practice until it becomes second nature. It doesn't just happen. Interesting, isn't it? This takes some conscious, deliberate planning and thought. And it's all about the fruit. I love it, the idea that, yes, we make every effort, we put in the work, but it's all about being effective and productive. Again, back to the parable of the sower. Don't you want to be the seed that's sown on the good soil and it grows to then, what is it? What does it say? It produces 30-fold, 100-fold, you know, the fruit. And the great example of this is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, that we may be people of love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. It's all about the fruit. But it's also not a command to do, but to be. Make every effort to add to your faith, what does it say? Virtue, and with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. Wait a minute. Shouldn't it be saying something like, make every effort to go to church 5 times every Sunday? Shouldn't it be, right, you've got to get up at least 6 a.m., no later, every morning to be on your knees and pray or whatever? Actually, no. Those are, you know, it's very good to be here, but what is the command? The command is to make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control. This is not a command to do, it's a command to be. In other words, what it's all about is not a how to do Christianity, but it's about the person we are to become. Which is kind of more challenging, isn't it, if you think about it? Because in some ways it's easier to follow a set of rules. It's not easier, but you know what I mean. If only I could just be told to do this, this, and this. No. What Peter says is that this is all about what you are to become as a Christian, which is all about the habits that we develop that change the soul. And ultimately, as we see, it's all about being more like Jesus. Okay, so at this point, I don't know if you're like me, but the idea of training for a marathon or practicing for Bake Off, it's all a bit beyond me. The good news is that this is not in vain. Let's look back to verses 3 and 4. Let's read it first of all. And so go back with me to verses 3 and 4 in the chapter. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort. Why do we make every effort? It's because, and if you can see here, I've just taken the ESV on the left-hand side and Zach's explanation from last week on the right. And I've taken out, it's this, just picked a few phrases here. So his divine powers has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Or as Zach put it, Jesus's power has given us everything we need to be saved and to grow. So when Peter says, make every effort, well, you've got Jesus' power. He has given us everything we need to be saved and to grow. We've got the Holy Spirit of power. We've got Jesus himself in us. I mean, that's mind-blowing, isn't it? When I make every effort, I'm not on my own. Jesus has given me everything I need to grow. And then the next bit, verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Or as Zach put it last week, he's given us great promises that you can share Jesus' character. So what we said was that bit at the bottom on the left, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, or that you can share Jesus' character. We need to think about that, don't we? Me share Jesus' character? Me be like Jesus? Surely not. But that's exactly what Peter is saying here. Not only have we been given his power, but we've been given his promises that we too can share Jesus' character, that we can be more like him. It's as if, there you are training, but it's not just you. You've got Mo Farah training with you. You've got Mo Farah himself saying this is exactly how to do it. This is what to do at the 1 kilometer, the 2 kilometer mark. Or it's exactly like Mary Berry helping you with your baking. It's trivial, but you know what I mean. It's not just that you're not your own, but you have the best. You have the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus himself in you, training you, helping you, supporting you, so that when you make every effort, yes, there's sweat, but it's not just your sweat. You've got Jesus in you, his power and his promises to help you. So what is it? So it's not in vain, but what is it exactly that we're trying to do? We're trying to make every effort to be more like Jesus because he is in you, making you more like him. So let's now look at the next question. What does this mean to me? So we're looking at this verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. But what does this mean to me? So it's make every effort to be more like Jesus. Let's take a look at that. For this very reason, make every effort. Well, we've just talked about this, that it's not just, you know, adding virtues. It's actually more than that. It's being partakers of the divine nature. It's actually sharing Jesus' character or becoming more like him. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Well, how was Jesus virtuous? What does that mean exactly? Well, think of Jesus' courage or his vigor, his energy, his boldness. Think of what a magnet he was and how people were so impressed by his character. And okay, this is Jesus we're talking about. But Peter is saying that we can partake in his divine nature. We can share in his character. We can become more like him. We are to make every effort to add to our faith virtue, just like Jesus. So that's pretty mind-blowing that we can be like him. So we should, as we're studying Mark on Sunday mornings, think, how is Jesus virtuous? How is he displaying this courage, this energy, this boldness, this goodness? How might I make every effort to be more like him? The second thing Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. Think of Jesus's knowledge of God's character, God's will, God's ways, God's wisdom, how he was able to see what's true, what's false, what's good, what's God-honoring. How might I learn something of his knowledge to make every effort to be more like Jesus? Then the third thing, the third ingredient for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge, and then self-control is the next ingredient that we're adding. So think of Jesus. What was his self-control, and how might I become more like him? Self-control, in a sense, is taking a grip on ourselves. But think of how Jesus always put others first. It was not always self to the fore, quite the opposite. The opposite of me first, the opposite of self-indulgence and self-pity. Jesus was never a me, me, me person. What a challenge to us to think of how Jesus had control over his own desires and wants to put others first. The fourth ingredient in making every effort to be more like Jesus is steadfastness. Steadfastness or perseverance or endurance. And when you think of this, I mean, think of Jesus and how he endured to the cross. This is all about persisting in our pursuit of God and godliness, even when we suffer for doing so. It's persisting in doing what is right in God's eyes. It's the commitment to suffer in the long term in order to experience glory for eternity. Make every effort to be more like Jesus because we have the power and his promises to do so. And the challenge is to see Jesus' steadfastness and endurance and to be more like him. Number five is godliness. So think of Jesus. What does godliness mean for Jesus? How can we make every effort to be more like Jesus in the area of godliness? Think of Jesus' prayerfulness, his knowledge of the scriptures. Think of how he applied his relationship with God to everything. Think of how he withdrew quite often to pray. Think of how he spent time with individuals. Think of his words and his deep, trying to even think of emulating Jesus seems totally beyond. And yet, Peter says, we have the power of the Holy Spirit and his promises to say that we can share in the character of Jesus. Number six, brotherly affection or brotherly kindness. Think of Jesus's generosity towards others. Can you think of situations where Jesus showed immense generosity, affection, and kindness to other people? I thought of the woman at the well. You know, apparently in those days, a man would never talk to a woman at the well. You know, this was outrageous behavior, but Jesus shows compassion and speaks to her in her need. Or the woman taken in adultery. I mean, you know, why wasn't Jesus picking up a stone with all the Pharisees? No, Jesus dealt with her with such graciousness, generosity, and forgiveness. So then the number seven is love. And if the others are challenging, this is the ultimate challenge, because when we think of Jesus' love, we think of what took him to the cross. We think of how Jesus sacrificed himself for you and for me. Not only, you know, in terms of what we were looking at, self-control, where he put others first, but he went to the cross for us. That's how far his love took him. And we are to make every effort to add to our faith Jesus's character, Jesus's qualities, Jesus's quality of sacrificing ourselves. Ephesians talks about to husbands to love the church, to love each other as love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave his life for it. Husbands, mega challenge to love our wives like that. But that applies to all of us, doesn't it? In terms of our love for our fellow believers, our love for the Christians out in Nigeria, for Mark and Jill and Christians in Mongolia. Oh, that we might make every effort to be more like Jesus in this way. So here is our challenge to make every effort to be more like Jesus. But the point is that you're not on your own. We have the power of Jesus granted to us. God's given us everything we need for a godly life. He's given us his promises that, yes, he is working in us to develop this character, Jesus, within us. So make every effort to be more like Jesus, because he is in you, making you more like him. So it's get in training, get planning, and get baking, adding those ingredients. Let's pray together. Father, we want to come before you in repentance, knowing that we so often fall far short of this challenge that you've given us in 2 Peter. And yet we thank you so much that amazingly you've given us your Holy Spirit of power, and you've given us your promises that you're working in us. We're not on our own. This isn't just us trying. No, you're working in us to develop us and nurture us, to help us to add these incredible characteristics. Father, we pray that you'd be working in us to make us more like Jesus. In his name, amen.